How's it going, everyone? Welcome to another episode of the Locked On Phillies podcast. I am your host, recent Temple Media School graduate and lifelong Philadelphia Phillies fan, Dan Wilson. And on today's episode, part two of the Locked On Phillies, Locked On Marlins crossover event with myself and Locked On Marlins host, Aram Layton. Aram, again, if you missed episode one, is also about my age, recent graduate from Syracuse. He went to Syracuse. He now lives back down in Florida, grew up a Marlins fan. Always fun talking some baseball with him, fun talking Phillies, fun talking Marlins, fun talking National League East and baseball in general as we sit here and are, you know, almost done the first week of spring training already, which is incredible to believe that we're getting that close to opening day. It was fun talking with him, fun talking JT Realmuto and Jorge Alfaro and Brandon Kinstler and Sixto Sanchez in episode one. We get into a whole lot more with both the Phillies and Marlins here in episode two. So I hope you like that. And again, I hope you like all the discussion surrounding the National League East, because I do think it's going to be one of, if not the toughest divisions in all of baseball. And the Marlins, even though they're not projected to finish towards the top of the division, have really been the Phillies' kryptonite in recent seasons. So I thought this was a really good conversation. I hope you like it as much as I enjoyed recording it. So again, stay tuned for my conversation with Aram Layton.
I mean, I think a big X factor is Spencer Howard. Spencer Howard's going to be a really important piece if he can put it together. I mean, that's somebody that was a top 35 prospect in baseball, and I think he still is by a lot of measures. But you know,
Philly's top prospect.
How is he? Yeah, and he's got to be able to, you know, take that step this year, because I think he was incredibly disappointing last year from what we saw, and that's okay. You know, that does happen sometimes with pitching prospects. You know, that, especially in a weird year where you didn't have a normal spring training and you didn't have a chance to really get acclimated. I thought he showed some things down the stretch. And I think he's going to be obviously a lot better. He's not going to be worse. And he's still only 24 years old. So I think Spencer Howard's a big X factor. If he can put it together, this rotation all of a sudden looks a little bit better. I've been saying since last year, like before he even made his debut, that Alec Bohm is special. That guy for me is massive. And I know he can't pitch, but I think Alec Bohm alongside, you know, Bryce Harper and Realmuto is going to be one of the better trios offensively in baseball. I really do think they're that good. And Alec Bohm, in my opinion, is a batting title contender for every year for the next decade. Like, I think he's that good. And he reminds me a lot of DJ LeMahieu. And I'd been saying it since before he made the debut, and to see what he did made me wish I bought stock in him. But yeah, he is special. And I think Phillies fans are if they haven't realized that already, are going to see that. And his numbers aren't because the season was shortened. He would have done that on a full season scale. I really do believe that.
There's no shortage of fanfare for Alec Bohm. He's got a very beautiful swing, draws a lot of Jason Worth comparisons, who of course was a big part in being the right fielder on the last World Series team back in 2008. He's just got a very pure swing for me. Like, in an era of baseball where everyone tries to clobber the ball out of the ballpark, and I get it's an analytics game and, you know, it's harder to move base runners and stuff like that. And some people like it, some people don't, but he never really tries to do too much. Like, he's a gaps hitter. He can hit for power. But he ended up being the most clutch guy for the Phillies last season, to the point where by the end of the year, like, there would be situations where the game is on the line. I'm like, give me hit Alec Bohm up at the plate, like, even more so than Bryce Harper. Cause, like, you know, Bryce Harper is the star of the team. No one's going to dethrone him as the face. He had a big walk. He's hit some big walk-offs for the Phillies already in his short time here. And you know that he could pop one into the second deck, as he infamously had a walk-off grand slam against the Cubs back in 2019 that capped off a big sweep. But Alec Bohm, like, if you got runners on and you need a guy to work in at bat and just, like, put one in the outfield, like, Alec Bohm's going to do it, and he's going to make contact. And he's not a guy that you ever worry is going to, like, strike out in a big spot. And it's absolutely a beauty to see. I shouldn't say, to your Spencer Howard point, it's an unfair assessment to say that there's not help on the way, because the best prospect in the organization is Spencer Howard. And they've talked about, at least in the short term this year, having him on an innings count. It's unclear to what extent he'll be in the rotation. And the fact that they went out and signed two guys and Moore and Anderson that they hope to be at least serviceable seems like a bit of insurance that, at least to start the year, that is going to be the rotation here. But no, I have a number of concerns. Again, it's not on the offensive side. And another guy who you didn't even mention, who's coming off Tommy John surgery, that is streaky, but is Rhys Hoskins. And if he can actually get all of the guys hitting at the same time, whether it be Harper, Hoskins, Bohm, getting another good season out of Didi Gregorius, there's still, it's still up in the air in center field. You don't know what you're going to get out of McCutcheon at this point in your career. You obviously have Realmuto behind the plate again. Like, it's a good offensive lineup. And like I said, an offensive lineup that was top five in runs scored in a shortened season last year. It's really just like the run prevention, because there was absolutely nothing worse last year than watching them put up seven runs like they did in a first half of a doubleheader, not in Toronto, but against Toronto and Buffalo. And knowing that like the lead's not even safe because you don't have guys who can get outs. And now you add the starting pitching concern. Like, I think it's a real, real issue for this team. And again, the struggles in Marlins Park and watching them blow games like this is not something I have to, you know, further explain. You saw it firsthand.
It kind of does remind me a little bit of the Marlins struggles in 2013, 14, 15, 16, where you had this really good lineup.
Yelich, Ozuna, Stanton.
Yelich, Ozuna, Stanton, you know, D. Gordon at the time was pretty good. And it, Justin Bourne was even hitting a little bit. But, like, you looked at the lineup and it was really good. And you see all those people for a while. I think it's finally ended. But, like, so many people would be like, look at this team the Marlins could have had. Like, no shit. Like, we know what the Marlins could have had. But the reality was that team never won. They didn't win more than 75 games. Giancarlo Stanton never saw a season above 500. You know why? Because the Marlins had a terrible farm system. They never had any pitching, and they had no money. That's the difference. It's the Phillies do have a little bit of money. But for the Marlins, they had the worst farm system in baseball, a good offense, no pitching, no bullpen. So how are you going to get pitchers? Every Marlins fan would say, oh, there were two pitchers away. What two pitchers would you have signed? Because the year that they decided to trade everybody, Alex Cobb was the best starting pitcher on the market. And look how that went. So, like, you just were in a horrible spot if you're the Marlins. The Phillies are not in that spot. But what it does remind me of a little bit is this loaded lineup where you have so much. This is a playoff lineup. That lineup can compete when it's clicking on all cylinders with just about any in baseball besides, like, the Dodgers and the Braves. And the issue is, okay, some question marks on starting pitching. But, you know, the variables, if Howard struggles, then you're in trouble. And then the variables in the bullpen. And there's no help on the way, like you said. And that was the big issue with the Marlins. It's like, there was no help on the way. So how do you acquire like,
that? This is it. This is the team. And they're projected to win in the low 80s of games. And you're trying to take out the Braves or the Mets. And you're looking at the scope in the NL. And you're like, all right, the Dodgers and Padres are both going to make the playoffs. Like, there's one wild card spot coming out of this division. The Braves went 7 with the Dodgers and blew a 3-1 lead last year. Like, they're the favorites to win the NL East. You can't compete with them. Okay, maybe you hope that the Mets are all hype and can't really deliver over the course of a long season, especially in their first year. And maybe that's the entrance point. But best case scenario, you're looking at a wild card spot, maybe.
And the no help on the way thing's a double-edged sword because, yes, of course, it means you have no help on the way, but it also means you have no assets to trade for something. And the Phillies do have some assets. But I'm saying if you wanted to make like a big move, you're really feeling it and you have an opportunity to, it's going to be tough. I mean, I do think a guy like Bryson Stott or like McAble or even Casey Martin, if you really wanted to, but like, do you want to trade those guys? It's really tough. You're in that in-between spot. I call it like baseball purgatory, where you have the bad farm system, pretty good team with holes. And it's like, okay, do we replenish the farm system? Do we deplete the farm system? The Marlins went the deplete route. Didn't work. But you know, again, these are very different situations, but there are like minor commonalities in terms of like trying to avoid the purgatory, which is the balance between kind of good major league team and terrible farm system. Which way do you go?
More of the part two episode of the Locked On Phillies, Locked On Marlins crossover event is coming right up. But first, I wanted to tell you about Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar ever. Built Bar has 18 amazing flavors, including their 6 new ones, which include caramel brownie, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, apple almond crisp, and my personal favorite is the cookies and cream. Bars are covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft and easy to chew, but the best part is that Built Bars are healthy. They're great for the health-conscious guy or girl. They will help you lose or maintain weight while indulging in delicious treat. Bars are low-calorie, low in sugar, high in protein, high in fiber, and great for anyone looking to go on a diet. Go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON20, and this is a slightly new one, Locked On 20, and you'll get 20% off your next order. Again, the promo code is LOCKEDON 20 for 20% off. One last time, it's Locked On 20 for 20% off your next order at BuiltBar.com. How's it going, everyone? Dan Wilson here from the Locked On Phillies podcast. And look, you know that I'm covering everything you need to know about the Phillies, but what about the rest of sports? Now the Locked On Podcast Network has you covered there as well with Locked On Today. It's hosted by the great Peter Bukowski, and it's all the sports news you need every morning in less than 20 minutes. Subscribe to the Locked On Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Now more of the Locked On Phillies, Locked On Marlins crossover with myself and Aram Layton coming right up.
And Dave Dombrowski, not known for building up the farm system, that was kind of the double-edged sword when he got hired of, okay, the Phillies don't have many assets to begin with. This is a guy who trades away all the assets, but like, what is he going to give away? Like, this is the team he's working with. He's going to go out, sign Widnow guys, which is the stage the Phillies are all in on. Like, you don't go sign Bryce Harper in his prime. You don't have Alec Bohm coming into his prime. You don't have Aaron Nola and Zach Wheeler in their primes just to be like, hey, we're going to rebuild now. Like, that wouldn't make a ton of sense, but they don't have that, you know, blue chip trade piece, so to speak, as you mentioned, to be like, all right, we can just deal this guy. And if we really need another stud pitcher, then we can just go out. No, they're signing low. They allocated a lot of their attention and money to bring back Realmuto, who they already had on the team. They went and signed somewhere anywhere from $3 to $4 million on Anderson, Moore, and Velasquez each to bring them back. I would have preferred that maybe they just take all of that money and go in like a Paxton or Odorizzi direction. And there's still even been rumors about that relatively recently. I don't know. It's just very, it's like, okay, we know what the offense is. The pitching has improved. Has it improved enough? And how much of last year was sustainable? Like, this is a team that under Gabe Kapler was basically consistently 500, was 500 last year, has not been good in September, long season or not. Do they have enough to get over that edge? And now that the division around them has gotten better, it's a problem for both the Phillies and Marlins. So we're kind of in the same boat in that sense of what real team can the Phillies or Marlins put together in the short term to compete with the world-beating Braves and the Mets, who just got a hell of a lot better, and the Nationals, who are expected to rebound. They just won the World Series 2 years ago. Granted, they lost Rendon and guys are a little bit older, but still, it's like there's a lot. It's a lot of things that have to go in your favor.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think when you look at the Phillies, though, they are built nicely for the playoffs more so than a 160-game season, where I think when you have Aaron Nola, I mean, when he's going right, I mean, even when he's not, he's a top 20 pitcher in baseball, maybe better than that. Zach Wheeler is right there, too. And, you know, that 1-2 punch in the postseason would be really good. You need that third guy, and that's why like Spencer Howard takes that step, or you know, whoever it is that can be that third guy. You know, that's a pretty competitive trio that you could ride in the postseason. We know the offense is great, but it's like, how do you compete on a daily basis, 162 games or 160 games, where you know there's going to be a lot of games. I mean, I need to educate myself more on the Phillies rotation, but in the past it was like, you have so many games where a struggling Spencer Howard is pitching, or a Vince Velasquez is pitching, or, you know, so many guys. And those are games that you can escape with a win sometimes, but you're not putting yourself in a good position. And then that's why I have a little bit more confidence than usual with the Marlins, is while their offense does not even hold a candle to the Phillies, the rotation doesn't really have a gaping hole where I think every single guy is like solid.
You don't have any world beating ace, but you have like a lot of twos and threes.
Exactly. They have a lot of middle of the rotation guys. You hope that Sixto or Sandy could become that ace. But you don't really have a gaping hole. You don't have a five. I think everybody's better than a five, and you don't have an ace, and you just have a bunch of guys in the middle, which is a good thing too. I think you need an ace in today's game, but you're hoping one of the guys will emerge into that. But I think at least they have that balance where it's not like every or 2 out of 5 days, you're like, how are we going to get a win today? Like, we got to really hit. That's a positive. And I think for the Phillies, that's going to be the question. Can they just have, they don't need much. Can Chase Anderson, like you said, or can Matt Moore even just be
serviceable, been the word,
4-3 ERA guy that just keeps you in the ball game, and you know you'll win half those starts with your offense. I mean, that's really what the key is here. And then if you can go get somebody at the deadline, then you go do that, and that could be the difference. But I think the Phillies have enough, in my opinion, as somebody that's not covering the Phillies, just looking from the outside, to hang in there. Expanded playoffs, even more so. And then at the deadline, you add, and then when you get to the playoffs, anything can happen. And I think that's why the Phillies have a good shot. But at the same time, you know, like, you got to be able to win. Like, you got to win the games against the Marlins. That's the reality. Like, you got to beat the bottom feeders, or else, you know, you're not going to be able to keep up. Because are you going to win a majority of the games against the Braves and the Mets? Maybe, but probably not. The Mets and the Braves are probably going to beat up on the Marlins a little bit. You got to beat up on them too. That's the reality of it, or else you're not going to be able to keep up. And I think that was a big reason why the Phillies were not able to keep up last year, was that they couldn't take advantage of those games against the Marlins. But I mean, a lot of people didn't as they made the playoffs. But, you know, I was going to ask you about that too, the bottom feeders thing. what did everybody think of what's that guy's name again? From the Philadelphia TV station that called the Marlins bottom feeders.
Oh, wait. Who? Yeah. Who called the Marlins? Okay. Yeah. So someone called the Marlins the bottom feeders. And yeah, who was it on the Marlins who took it personally? Who, like, this was a huge. Okay. So this was right during the COVID outbreak. This was like beginning of the season, right?
Yes. So it was right when the Marlins took 2 out of 3 from the Phillies in that opener. And it was Ricky Bowe, right?
Sorry. So Ricky Bitalico. Yes. Okay. Yeah. On the post game show, called the Marlins the bottom. I couldn't think of who said it. I wasn't sure.
I know.
It was
trying to, like,
there's a few radio personalities who I thought could have said it as well. And I didn't want to misquote. So yeah, it was Ricky Bitalico, who's a former pitcher himself, who was on the Phillies, who does Phillies pregame and postgame live. Yeah. Called the Marlins the bottom feeders of the division. And it did not bode well. The Marlins channel,
didn't even say it in passing. He like hammered it. He's like, they are really bottom feeders. Like, they are. And like, just like hammered it down. So
I think forgot about that. Yeah.
They took that and they ran. I mean, they were selling shirts and stuff. Like, they loved it.
I forgot he called them the bottom feeders. That's right. So, yes, Ricky Bitalico, for those not familiar, outside of the Philadelphia market, very passionate. I mean, I thought he was really going to blow a fuse last year, because every night they would blow. He's a bullpen guy himself, and he would just watch the same loss over and over and over again. And like, there would be steam coming out of his ears on Wednesday, and they'd blow 2 or 3 more games that week. I'm like, you're not going to have anything left. And this is a 60 game season. And it felt like they packed the heartbreak of 162 games into 1 year. I forgot about that. So it's funny with this whole pandemic. We're coming up on a year. It feels, in some ways, it's like, I can't even believe that it's been a year. In reality, it feels like it's been 5 years worth of information in one. So that was back in July. The Phillies opened up. It's not coming back. They opened up the season against the Marlins. And after that, the Marlins had the COVID outbreak, and the Phillies missed about a week. And that was very annoying, because you wait all this time for baseball to come back, and then they get 3 games against the Marlins, win 1 out of 3, by the way. Like, they win that opening night with Nola, lose on Saturday and Sunday, and everyone's like, all right, here come. I think it was they lost on Saturday and Sunday, if I'm remembering correctly. Mm-hmm. You might remember as well. But, and then it was like, all right, well, now they have another week off. They still can't win the games they're supposed to against the Marlins. And then the Marlins, you probably know the number off the top of your head. How many games did they end up missing? And what was like the span of that they played their remaining 57 games in? Like, that was even more frustrating from a Phillies perspective, that these other teams like the Marlins, and even worse, the Cardinals, are playing doubleheader after doubleheader after doubleheader, taxed bullpen, taxed rotations, like taxed players throughout the clubhouse.
Indie ball guys, calling guys up from A ball.
Like, independent, but there was that one Marlins lineup I remember that, like, no one outside of maybe the city of Miami had heard of half the guys in it, because they're just rolling out guys off the street. And
there
they
were guys
the
that Don Mattingly didn't even know. He literally had never spoken.
Don Mattingly had never met these guys. He's like, hey, you're starting today. And the Phillies couldn't, like, the 16 game playoff system. It makes me so mad every time I think about it. Like, they were inviting the Phillies to get in so many times. Like, Major League Baseball sent a cordial invitation to the offices of the Philadelphia Phillies, and they checked the decline box. I mean, that's how ridiculous it was that they were in it until the final day and got all the help they needed. Like, they have no one to blame but themselves, and they blew it 20 different times. And it's just unbelievable that they had the one COVID outbreak at the beginning of the season, and obviously every team was dealing with that, but because they were playing against the Marlins are basically locked in hotel rooms in Philly, and they still couldn't even compete with them. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, they were throwing socks against mattresses and like it's wild. It's wild.
I forgot about Ricky Pitalico. I might try and get him on the podcast at some point and retell that story, because it's almost like 20 different things have happened with this team at this point. I forgot that, you know, he was partially responsible for lighting a flame in the Marlins.
Dude, they're still talking about it. Like Jazz Chisholm mentioned it the other day. I was like, all right, like let's move on. But you know what? Like
they're still talking about it. That's good to know. It's great to know.
Yeah, at least Jazz is. Jazz Chisholm's a big personality, but yeah, he's like, we're the bottom feeders. Like we're going to show him again, whatever. I'm like, all right, man. Like he made the playoffs last year, but like, I think nobody's really expecting
the Phillies will be expecting their thank you note from the Marlins anytime.
Yeah. Well, that's what Pitalica said. I saw a tweet where he's just like, yeah, like they should thank me for the motivation or whatever. Like that was, you know, I said that or whatever.
The final segment of the Locked On Phillies, Locked On Marlins podcast crossover with Aram Layton and myself is still coming up on the other side of the break. But first I wanted to tell you about my friends at betonline.ag. Look, BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of the sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, the NHL, and again, now spring training, are all in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. It's got real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds you need. It's the best place to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today, and you'll receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit when you use the promo code LOCKEDON. Again, use the promo code LOCKEDON. Head to the website, use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus with betonline.ag. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. What's up, everybody? Dan Wilson here from the Locked On Phillies podcast with yet another recommendation of a podcast you need to check out right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. It's Locked On Fantasy Baseball, and fantasy baseball addicts, listen up. You now have a resource to help you gain an advantage within your own fantasy baseball league with Locked On Fantasy Baseball. It's a daily fantasy baseball podcast hosted by veteran fantasy analyst Scott Cullen, who uses data and nearly two decades of fantasy baseball experience to offer the strategies and waiver wire pickups that lead to league wins. Season-long fantasy, dynasty leagues, DFS, Locked On Fantasy Baseball, it covers it all. Subscribe to Locked On Fantasy Baseball wherever you get your podcasts.
The only hope I think teams like the Phillies and the Marlins have this year, because you were mentioning that the Phillies like struggled to beat up on the Marlins and you assume the Braves and Mets might do it, is that maybe the division's good enough that every team will beat up on each other.
Yeah.
Like,
and then that's how you do outside of it.
I
think that's very possible.
I was actually producing at a little plug here at WIP here in Philadelphia when Ricky Pitalica was a guest just about 2 weeks ago. And it's funny that I forgot that he mentioned that he had said that, but he was like, look, there's a possibility. I forget what year he had referenced when he was playing, where a team, a really strong division like this ended up getting one with like a high 80s, low 90s win total, just because each team A was beating up on team B, B was beating up on C, C was beating up on D and down the line. And that if there's not one team that really takes a stranglehold on this thing, maybe that's the advantage that a team like the Phillies or Marlins would have. Now,
tread water
and just stay relevant. Now,
kind of what the Marlins did last year, honestly.
tread water, you know, get hot at the right time, get good and win the games you need to down the stretch. A guy like Aaron Nola, perhaps the biggest concern that I have with him is that his Septembers have not been great. He has an ERA in September close to 2 points higher, a full like two runs higher than the rest of his career. Some of that might be managing innings. And I'm actually curious to get your thoughts on, because we're going to have a 162 game season, and this is going to be an acclimation of getting back to a full baseball schedule for all teams, not just the Phillies or the Marlins or anyone else. Do you think you see teams go to employ a six-man rotation this year at points? Do you think we maybe see doubleheaders if we get another COVID outbreak? Like, there has to be some managing of getting guys back up to speed here, because especially for a guy like Nola, I'll give up some of the starts early in the year if it means treading water, getting to September, and then throwing them every fifth day. Like, I know the games count the same in the standings, but if you can just get yourself to that point and get better starts down the stretch rather than collapsing when this your scoreboard watching in September.
No, I think it's a very distinct possibility. But at the same time, it's like we're talking about it. You want to get back around to Nolan Wheeler so badly because, some of the guys that you might have going for you just are not going to give you a big chance to win. So it's finding that balance, and it's really tough. And I think that's, again, why I have a little bit more confidence in the Marlins than usual, because I think having that rotational depth is more important this year than any other year, even though you lack an ace. I think when you look at the Phillies, I think that's one of the play it by ear situations. You got to watch Nola really closely, but I would ride out with a 5-man rotation through the first half. And then I'd be watching him, you know, with a fine tooth comb in the second half of the season. And if I see like he's slowing down a little bit, that's where I start spacing out his starts. But I think up until then, you know, every game matters so much that you got to have Nola going as much as he can. But I do think that that's a really interesting point. Especially if you want Nola going deeper into starts because your bullpen's unpredictable. There's going to be a lot of pressure on Girardi to manage properly. And I'm very interested to see how he decides to manage it. But you know, I definitely do believe that going into the second half of the season, if the Phillies are positioned well, you know, maybe you do deploy a 6-man rotation and try to spread out his starts a little bit because clearly he's not able to just keep that second half momentum like he does through the first half. And you know, that's something he's gonna have to overcome if he wants to be one of the best pitchers in this game. So he's gonna have to get a chance to do it, but you know, you can only baby him for so long. You know,
I also want to be perfectly clear, I am not advocating for more Vince Velasquez here. It's more so I hope that Nolan Wheeler can be really, really good. I hope a guy like Zach Eflin, who's kind of like that third guy who had his best career season last year, can continue to make strides and really be a solid number three guy. You hope that between Moore and Anderson, one of them gives you, again, serviceable starts. And then maybe a guy like Spencer Howard finds his way back into the rotation. Maybe it's a spot start for a guy like Vince Velasquez here and there. Again, I'm not suggesting they should baby Nola, but more so, like, this, I'm just thinking about from a pitching perspective, it's definitely got to be harder now going back to this full 6-7, really close to 8-month season, if you're including the playoffs and spring training and pitchers and catchers and workouts and all that stuff. I don't need to burn him out and get him hurt or make him less effective in May or June just because you're trying to come flying out of the gate. The Phillies have been great at flying out of the gate before. That's not when I need them to be good, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and I mean, if you don't have Nola, you might as well mail it in. So, I mean, it's definitely a delicate situation there, and definitely something I'll be interested to keep my eyes out for. But yeah, I'm very interested to see how he's able to do in the second half, because it always has been a tale of two halves for him.
We'll wrap it up kind of on this idea, whether it's the NL East, the scope of baseball, could be rules, could be what team you're looking at this year. As we come up here on baseball starting and spring training starting, it's one of the best times of the entire year, frankly. What's the thing you're looking at in baseball this season? It could be, again, a Marlins thing. It could be we no longer have the designated hitter in the NL, going back to somewhat normalcy.
Yeah, I don't want to see, I don't want to see guys strike out every time. Like, I don't want to see high school caliber hitters at the plate. I can't believe we're still doing this. But honestly, as a prospect guy, I'm just so excited to see these minor leaguers get going again. And just to see all of the young talent. I think baseball is in a really good spot with the amount of young talent that they have. It's just how they market it. And I think that they've been very cognizant of that with Fernando Tatis. And I think they're going to be very cognizant of that with Juan Soto. And I'm just one, I'm very interested to see just how those guys take the next step this year. Can they really be, you know, the future of this game? And then how about like all of the prospects that we didn't get to see last year? Wander Franco, you know, you got CJ Abrams and all these exciting electric players that I just can't wait to watch. Adley Rutschman, you know, like there's just so many fun guys. I think Jared Kelenic will make his debut, Julio Rodriguez. I love so many of these guys like as prospects, and it's going to be so fun to watch them. And it's something that we were deprived of last year. Yes, we got a major league season, but I mean, we're going to get to see a lot of big league debuts again this year. We're going to get to see minor leaguers overachieve. Who's going to be that Phillies prospect that emerges and that overachieves? There's always one in every team. Like all of that stuff is just, I'm just so excited for the layers of baseball to be back again.
So I'll actually, before I let you go, I'll pick your brain a little bit more. Here's a prospect guy. I had mentioned that pitchers getting acclimated to a full season here will certainly be different, but what do we think, or what are we thinking here in terms of prospects actually playing a minor league season again? Like, now that minor league baseball will be back and we're not just going to have like these AAA farm system camps, like they're going to be playing games, guys who didn't get up to the major leagues a year ago. A lot of them basically were coaching themselves or on virtual programs or again at these camps. Now that they're going back to somewhat normalcy, does that affect them, especially pitching prospects? Does that affect them? Do we see a lot of shuffling within prospect lists this year? Like, what's going to happen with all that?
Yeah, I mean, I think the lists are kind of weird when you didn't have really anybody playing and all you could go off of was alternate training news. But I think you're going to see a little bit of caution with certain pitching prospects. You don't want to just ramp them up out of nowhere, especially some of the high school guys that were just drafted recently, like Mick Gable or some of those guys, but they might want to build their innings up. It's different case by case. I think it's an advantage to hitters generally, as they've had time to tinker and work on things, but they also haven't had that many live at-bats either. But on the flip side of it, I've interviewed a lot of players, pitchers specifically too, on the Locked On MLB Prospects podcast. And they've said that in one respect, it's been a cool opportunity for them to just work on things that they don't normally get to work on. And like, I had a few different pitchers come on and say, yeah, I just went in the backyard and threw like a million changeups. And like, now I feel like I found it. Whereas like in the season, I would never be able to like play with a changeup because it's going to go 400 feet.
Like a year long spring training in a sense.
Yeah. So it was a chance to tinker, and I have a few, you know, friends in pro ball that use the time to really try to make some major adjustments they wouldn't have been comfortable making in a regular season. But if you're somebody that wasn't really struggling and was on a roll, it definitely sucks. If you're somebody that was struggling a little bit and you have time to really assess everything and take a step back and improve, I'm going to be looking at those guys. I think I'm really eager to see how some of the guys, top prospects that have struggled in 2019 are going to come back this year. I think some, you know, it'll hurt them a lot. And I think some will take a major stride. So I do think that these top prospect lists are going to be shaken up quite a bit. And it could be on the flip side. Some of those guys that had momentum, you know, maybe they won't have as much. Maybe they might slow down a little bit. There's going to be a lot more variability this year. And not that the prospect world needed much more variability, but I think it's going to be more so than ever.
I'm looking up here, and I forgot to look it up before we started. Do you happen to know offhand when the first Phillies-Marlins showdown is here coming up?
That is a great question. I should know that too, and I actually don't know that. But the
we are looking at a first Phillies-Marlins. They actually don't play in the first month of the season. We are looking at a Phillies-Marlins series at Citizens Bank Park, Tuesday, May 18th, Wednesday, May 19th, and Thursday, May 20th, and then the Phillies make their way down to Miami for a four-game set. What looks like the week leading up to Memorial Day, Monday, the 24th of May through May 27th. So it's a while since until our two teams will actually square off. And of course, they don't even play in spring training with these smaller spring training bubbles, and they're on opposite sides of the state. But certainly once we get into May, I'm looking forward to these crossover. I took over this podcast in October, so I've never actually gone through like the length of a full season. It's just been a lot of, you know, off-season guests and speculation and like, day 57, will they actually sign Real Muto? So I'm looking forward to the day-to-day of the season. And I'm certainly looking forward to crossing over, particularly with the my fellow division podcast hosts here, just because the Phillies play them 19 times. So when the Phillies are, you know, come away 2-5 in those seven games, I'll be eager to talk about it with you again.
Yeah, and we can preview the next series as well. So I'm looking forward to it as well, and I'm glad we could do this crossover. We'll definitely do it again soon.
Again, he is Aram Layton. You can check him out on the Locked On Marlins and the Locked On Prospects podcast. I am Dan Wilson from Locked On Phillies. Stay tuned for more podcasts later in the week.
That will do it for this part two episode of the Locked On Phillies podcast. Again, I want to thank Aram Layton for taking the time and recording this crossover. Certainly it was a lot of fun. I think he had a lot of fun recording it as well. I thought it was a mutually beneficial conversation, both to fans of Locked On Phillies, fans of Locked On Marlins, and really anyone, like I said, who is a fan of the National League East. Again, this is something we will be doing all month long, crossing over with all of the teams in the division. Next week, I'll be sitting down with Josh Neighbors of the Locked On Nationals podcast, which, for those of you who may not know, Josh Neighbors has been a friend of mine for a while, so always fun getting to record with him. And again, every time a week goes by and I record a new one of these, A, it's a lot of fun to record, but B, it means we're getting that much closer to opening day, and the suspense kind of builds up more and more. So definitely looking forward to that. Again, thank you to Aram for a really what I thought was a good podcast that we were able to record. And again, hopefully you enjoyed listening to it. Stay tuned for more podcasts later in the week. If you want to follow the podcast on Twitter at @LO_Phillies, or of course my personal account at @Dan_Wilson4. Again, I will have more Locked On Phillies for you later in the week. But until then, have a great day, everybody.